All right, thank you. To begin with, I'd like to recognize my co-authors, Doug Carlin, Cindy Cambardella, Bob Kremer, and Kevin King. Why soil metabolic activity? Enzyme production is energetically costly and requires nitrogen. Thus, the synthesis of enzymes by the soil microbial population is indicative of a balance between nutrient availability and substrate concentrations. Organisms will only produce enough enzyme necessary to draw in the amount of nutrients necessary. Measurement of potential soil enzyme activity, which is what we do when we measure enzymes, reflects a balance between synthesis and the eventual breakdown of enzymes. It sort of acts as an environmental rolling average. Measurements are not readily impacted by diurnal cycles in microbial activity, nor in some instances by seasonal influences. But it will ultimately be impacted by shifts in the microbial population. Some enzymes are sensitive to changes in soil management long before soil organic carbon, which is the dominant element in organic matter, and it's considered the primary indicator of soil health. Soil management assessment framework was used for soil quality assessments of 17 watersheds as a part of the soil of the conservation effects assessment program. SMAF scores are measured soil indicators. It scores them between 0 to 1 using one of three three relationships. A more is better, such as organic carbon. A less is better, such as bulk density, or an optimum, such as phosphorus, which in the increasing is related to plant nutrition, but decreasing portion is due to environmental impacts. SMAF also calculates a total soil quality index and sector SQI, such as physical, chemical reactivity, nutrient, and biological. Scoring algorithms take into account inherent characteristics, soil characteristics, and environmental parameters. The objective here was to determine five metabolic indicators and relate them to measured soil indicators and SMAF indicator scores. And here we are concentrating on soil biological measurements in four Midwestern watersheds, and where applicable, the corresponding SMAF indicator scores. This is a list of everything that we measured during our soil quality assessment, but the underlying bulk density, total nitrogen, and extractable phosphorus are the only ones that will be mentioned in this talk, along with all the biologicals. The soil organic carbon and potentially mineralizable CNN and microbial biomass carbon. The five metabolic inhibitor indicators, beta-glucosidase, which is involved in the cellulose degradation, releasing glucose. It's very good between distinguishing between management systems. It's the only enzyme that so far that has a SMAF scoring algorithm. Glucosaminidase, or NAG, is involved in the breakdown of chitin, releasing amino sugars. Aromatase is involved in the mineralization of organic N compounds. Acid phosphatase cleaves phosphate from phosphorus containing organic compounds, monoesterases. And fluorescein diacetate hydrolysis, which is a general microbial hydrolase activity. Many enzymes carry out this hydrolysis. Thus is thought to be an indicator of total microbial activity. We looked at four watersheds. First was in South Fork in Iowa, South Fork of the Iowa River. And its mean annual temperature is 8.2 degrees. It's actually the driest of the four locations at 836 millimeters of rain. It's we sampled corn-soybean rotations. a varying productivity levels. It's about 3.2% of the 84,000 plus hectare watershed was taken, 200 samples, all at the 0 to 5 centimeter depth. Primarily chiseled disc, and primarily mollisols with a sprinkling of histosols and alphasols. Cedar Creek in Indiana, northeastern Indiana, it's actually the wettest of the four watersheds at 1,001 millimeters. And the average is 9.9 degrees C for annual temperature, though I think last winter we knocked it down a little bit. Corn, soybean, and wheat were the primary cash crops. We sampled 20 representative fields, basically in pothole topography, 120 samples each at 0 to 5 and 5 to 15 centimeters, dominated by no-till and chiseled disc with some rotational till and perennial crops. And those that aren't familiar with rotational till, you will till after the corn, and then after soybean, it will be no-till. It's actually dominated both by mollisols and alphasols, but a little bit of inceptisols and histosols. Ohio, it was the upper Big Walnut Creek, 950 millimeters of rain, corn, soybean, wheat. Sampled four 408-hectare sub-watersheds, representative of the whole, 68 samples each at 0 to 5 and 5 to 15, dominated by rotational till and no-till with 3% perennial crops. And it's basically alphasols with about a third aquals, or mollisols. And Missouri was our last one. Salt River Basin flows into the Mark Twain Lake, 985 millimeters of rain. Corn, soybean, wheat, we add grain sorghum, 95 samples at 0 to 5 and 5 to 15. Chiseled disc, 41% no-till. And here we do have either perennial crops or woodlands, so we had an addition there. And primarily alphasols. Sampling methodology, we sampled in the autumn after harvest, 20 cores taken around a 3 millimeter or 3 meter radius of the sampling point. Cores were bulked and taken to the lab, sieved. Microbial biomass carbon was done on field moist soils, all the others used air dried. Standard methods were used, and if you're interested in those, we can talk later. Here is a matrix looking at the interrelationship between the enzyme between the enzymes, and I've circled the three highest R values. Oddly, all of them were significant at the 0.001 level, but some of them were fairly weak. And this looks at a selection of other components and just the straight R values. You'll notice that there's nothing much straight R value in terms of bulk density, nitrogen and phosphorus, although there are trends there. And some of them are curves rather than straight lines. I've only looked or put down here the R value is greater than 0.5. This is the point where biologists begin to get excited when they see an R value over 0.5. So below, just to remind you, that's soil organic carbon, microbial biomass carbon, potentially mineralizable carbon, nitrogen, the SMAF biological SQI, which considers those last four plus beta-glucosidase, an SQI, which includes several physical, biological, and chemical parameters. Now, when we look at the watersheds, beta-glucosidase, NAG, and a mineralizable C separated the watersheds in identical manners. So organic carbon did not differentiate as quickly, and it is thought that enzymes act as early warning indicators in terms of the direction that organic carbon might be taking. If you look at, you know, South Fork and Cedar Creek are both predominantly mollisols, so they're originally high in organic matter. And it takes a while for it to lose what is there. In the 5 to 15, several indicators there had the same pattern. SOC and CMIN also differentiated, just not in the same pattern. When you look at scored beta-glucosidase, it did a very good distinguishing between the four watersheds, as did the total SCI. Biological, of course, included several items, all four of those. And then same thing happened in the lower section, although the SMAF beta-gluc did not differentiate in the same pattern as these other four, the SOC, microbial biomass, biological, or SCI, SQI. Looking at tillage management, the beta-gluc, the NAG, the CMIN, and the NMIN had similar patterns, and AP was close to the pattern in differentiating between these tillage systems, despite the varied types of soil that were involved. SOC, unfortunately, did not distinguish at all between them, was not differentiated. There were no significant differences. If you go to the slightly lower part of the plow layer, NAG and aralamidase and MBC were still pretty good at differentiating. When you're taking into account inherent soil differences, and the which you do when you score these indicators in SMAF, they begin to differentiate between the tillage systems quite well. And I did want you to note the differences between rotational till and no-till. I thought there would be more differentiation between the two since one tills and one doesn't, but there really was very little. And this could be because there is some advantage to occasional tillage in these heavier clay soils. Looking at the crop that was in the ground at time of harvest, beta-glucosidase and CMIN did a very good job at differentiating, and they had similar patterns. AP was close to the same pattern. And then there was quite a bit of differentiation in the slightly lower depth, and many of these had similar patterns of differentiation. Again, once scored, beta-glucosidase did a very good job at differentiating between the systems after taking into account texture and environment and soil suborder. But didn't do quite as well a job, as good a job in the lower depth, but the other indicators did a good job. This is rotation, so it's corn-based, grass, legume, and small grain-based. Please note that corn-based did, the worst, which you might expect. Legume-based was not far behind, but got to understand a lot of that legume-based had corn. It was corn-soybean rotations, although there was the alfalfa was included in there as well. Forage did quite well, small grain-based, when you added wheat to the corn and soybean rotation, did better than the corn-soybean alone. And when you look at the the SMAF indicators, once you've taken into account the inherent soil characteristics, there was quite good differentiation between these rotations for beta-glucosidase, carbon, and microbial biomass carbon, nitrogen mineralization, no, and SQI did a pretty good job. Looking lower, beta-gluc fell out, but nitrogen mineralization came in. H down. Cover crops, as you can expect. You know, cover crop, yes, good. No cover crop, not as well. And I didn't show the manure data, but the manure data followed the same pattern as you would expect. There was no surprises there. Except that you might look at the FDA and the SOC, and they did not differentiate at all between these systems. And it could be just the length of time the systems were in. The soil organic carbon just hasn't caught up yet. Conclusions. Corn-based crops, whoa. That was supposed to be silent, sorry. Corn-based crops often had lower activities and scores. For the microbial activity, the perennials evidently, you know, as expected, did better than in the perennial. What surprised me was the rotational and the no-till were approximately the same. These were mature systems. And then the chiseled disc, as expected, performed worse. A rotational trended lower than no-till in the raw numbers, but when biological indicators were scored with SMAP, the no-till often trended lower, perhaps due to the higher clay contents, but again, not sufficient to be significantly different. And cover crops and soil and manure amendments, as you would expect, were demonstrably beneficial. Beta-glucosidase, NAG, aryl-amidase, and aryl-phosphatase could distinguish between, or not aryl-phosphatase, but acid phosphatase, could distinguish between many of the management practices on a regional scale. Carbon mineralization also performed well. FDA was not able to discriminate well between management systems on a regional scale. On a local scale, it works, but when you go up to a regional scale, it does not function well in discriminating between management systems. SOC did not differentiate well between management systems. SMAF, soil biological, and I have a period in there that doesn't belong there. Indicator scores and total and sector SQIs, for the most part, differentiated well between management practices quite well. And corn-based crops often had lower activities and scores, which really is not a surprise, but this just emphasizes previous studies.